Ottilia, an English-speaking anarchist radio show with international and local perspective. At Radio Blau, Leipzig.
Yeah, hello and welcome to the first show in 2024. Sadly, I'm alone here in the studio today, and that's changed the atmosphere a lot. But I hope next time we will be more people again. And I'm also curious if I will manage to lead you through today's show after this English, native speaking English show before. You're listening to Anarchist News Show, Bad News for Telia today, and I hope I have some topics that will catch your attention. First, Camilla and I did an interview with some comrade from Solidarity Soon about a case of repression in Russia. Then we will have some interview the comrades from A Radio Berlin did about a case linked to the protest against the G20 back in 2017 in Hamburg. And last but not least, we will listen to some report about the anti-takeover law in Chile, so-called Chile, and the comrades there report on it from Radio Flora, a new radio based in Valparaiso. And this law is mainly used to criminalize Mapuche people there in the region. And apart from that, we will have a bunch of news in the beginning, short news, and also some announcements in the end. And I hope, as I said, we will get through. And first, we will start with some music, some classic for the really young new year. And it's called Wake Up, and it's from Rage Against the Machine. I guess everybody should know it. right, back in the studio. We're gonna start with our news, short news part of the show, and we will start in the new year as we ended in the last with a lot of repression against anti-fascists, especially in Saxony. But the cases we will report on now are luckily from the old year, and we will see what the new year will bring. So, and I'm gonna start with the raids in so-called Schwarzenberg. It's a small town in the region called Erzgebirge in Saxony, and there took place several raids in different cities, in Schwarzenberg, in Chemnitz, and in Zwickau. And the raids were linked to the protest against fascists around the 1st May in Gera. And the cops kicked several doors, destroyed them, and tried to scare people there. But it seems that there are like at least some people in Erzgebirge that are willing to strike back and don't want to let themselves be scared by the authorities. And I think it's really important to support also the people like there in the region, in the small cities, and don't leave them alone. So the second one is about the Budapest complex. We reported on it in our last show already, and sadly we have to announce that another person was arrested since then. It's also some weeks back now. It was at the Monday, the 11th of December. They arrested Maya, a person based in Berlin. It seems that the person was wanted for quite some time, and some special unit of the police arrested the person. So far, Maya is in investigation prison and is waiting for a decision if Maya will be extracted to Hungary, or the court case will take place in Germany. And linked to that, also, and in addition to the case of Gabriel, the anti-fascist imprisoned in Milano, accused in the same case, the court case was postponed about his extradition was postponed on the 16th of January, so it will be soon. So everybody stay attentive and show solidarity with the accused in the so-called Budapest complex case. Last but not least, our last short news for today. It's about New Year's Eve. It made me really happy that in a lot of cities and also maybe smaller places in Germany, people gathered in front of the prisons around New Year's Eve and showed solidarity with the prisoners. So in Leipzig as well, and it was called by some communist group that might be suspicious for a lot of anarchists already. On their internet page, there's not, at least not that much things you can read that might prevent you from the beginning to go there, at least content-wise. So They're in front of the prison in Leinestraße in Leipzig. They're gathered around up to 60 persons, I guess. But it was quite sad as the concentration was held in the corner, like in the, that was the farthest away from the houses in which the prisoners were held. So it's very unlikely that they could hear even, yeah, anything about the, from the concentration. And also the speakers were like directly going to the wall, so it was like was kind of sad. And I don't know, I hope some people maybe took the opportunity and went to some place where the prisoners could hear them in the end. But as far as I stayed at the concentration, it was like there were people like listening speeches, which were like content-wise held for only for people to explain why it's good to do something against prison, and not really speaking to the prisoners and showing solidarity. And it was kind of a propaganda show, but not really addressing the prisoners. And but they couldn't hear it anyway. So, kind of sad, but improvable. And in the end, it was cool anyway that somebody organized something. We're gonna listen to some music now, and then we're gonna start with the interview we did with the comrade from Solidarity Soon.
First of all, thank you that you were finding time to talk with us. Maybe you can introduce yourself as you like, with your preferred name, pronoun, and affiliation, which makes sense to our talk today.
I'm Anya, member of a group called Solidarity Zone.
If you can tell a little bit to those who don't know, what is Solidarity Zone?
Solidarity Zone is a grassroots initiative that provides legal and humanitarian and media help to those arrested for anti-war direct action in Russia. It can be setting fire on administrative buildings and military recruitment offices. It can be railroad sabotage and similar actions against Russian war machine and government itself. We appeared firstly as a group of friends who already each of us was involved in prisoner support before full-scale invasion into Ukraine. After 24th of February 2022, we noticed in the news that some actions, anti-war actions, are not matching criteria of support of liberal human rights organizations. They didn't organize defense of persons who committed radical actions against war. And firstly, we decided just like informal group to defend several people that that we found in pretrial detention centers. And then more such cases appeared, and we realized that we need to call ourselves somehow and create social media accounts to spread the word about prisoners, about kind of protest, because it's, on the one hand, it's pretty idealized by different groups, actually.
Yeah, thanks for this brief explanation about what Solidarity Soon is doing. Hello from my side as well. Today we wanted to specifically talk about the case of Ruslan Siddiqui. Maybe you can first of all explain to our listeners what the case is about.
We know this case because a friend of Ruslan sent us mail with information about his arrest. After that, we sent a lawyer to Ruslan, and through the lawyer asked him to tell us a bit more about his case and about his position. After that, we, together with Ruslan and his friends who contacted us, decided to organize his support together. Ruslan is accused, and he doesn't deny these accusations. He derailed 19 carriages of cargo train in Rizan region. He made self-made explosives in two spots on the railway and watched through the camera he installed near the railroad. He was waiting when cargo train, military supply train will pass this part of railway and then to blow the rails and derail the train. Actually, his plan was to destroy the rails and stop for some time moving of military supply trains. But the train, which was derailed by Ruslan, wasn't used by Russian military. Yeah, but anyway, this part of railroad was destroyed, and the damage, according to Russian railway company, was named like 30 millions rubles. And yeah, it took time to restore the moving of cargo trains in this part. And also, pro-governmental media wrote after Ruslan's arrest that he organized also a drone attack on a military airport from where aircrafts going to like to provide the bombs for Russian military in Ukraine. But officially, this case not yet begun, and the accusation wasn't yet official.
So that means it was only published on the media. He didn't receive any formal accusation about the airbase case so far.
Yeah, but we, I think we should wait, because sometimes pro-governmental media publish something that then appears in criminal case. So we can't, unfortunately, say that it wasn't in near future. Wouldn't be.
Maybe you can say some more words. From my point of view, it's like quite strong position to don't deny that the accusations about the derailment. Is it because of that there's that much evidence that he's not able to deny it anyway? Or is it also kind of a political position that he is like, say, that's really like this kind of actions is something, I don't know, he can stand for, or because of its ideology or his beliefs or whatever?
I can't say for sure, but I think it's mostly about position. In any case, where we support people, because in several cases, actually, persons who are like under the trial now, they are from the very beginning of their case, they decide to be agree with actions they did. Yeah, and I think in the case of Ruslan, it should be same. But also, maybe it's important to say that it can be several hours between real arrest of a person and kind of official arrest. And this time, very often used by security service, like FSB or cops for torturing people, for beating them to get some proper like words, witnessing against themselves. And I think it can be also part of the reason why people sign in documents with accusations.
Talking about the political perspective, you didn't mention it, but as it's written in different articles, Ruslan is an anarchist. And does he also do some statements now out of prison?
Yeah, we know from Ruslan's friends that he's anarchist. He's have actually a lot of interests that can be topics for letters to him. Yeah, but we didn't establish strong contact with him, so we are not yet in letter exchange. It was just more technical visits of lawyer. So for now, we can say very little about his political views, about something more about his personality. But I think it should be possible, maybe during the so-called investigation, because first time when Ruslan facing the most pressure from security services, from prison staff, and in other cases, we see that after several months of detention, it becomes easier and it starts to be possible to ask lawyer to talk with prisoner, to ask him or her about interests, about political statements or something that a person would like to spread outside of prison.
What is, by now, with the accusation which Ruslan has already officially, what does it mean? How many years of imprisonment he can get?
He's accused on two articles. It's always difficult for me to count years. I guess up to 20, because the first one is terrorist act, and second one is keeping explosives.
Also, in several languages in the articles about the case, people can also find an address to write letters to Ruslan. At the same time, there is this relatively new law, which is making it problematic or nearly illegal to communicate with foreigners, because this could be counted as a traitorship of the country. Does it still make sense for people who are not in Russia to write letters for political prisoners?
Sorry, I didn't understand. Which law do you mean? About confidential...
Yeah, confidential interactions with foreigners, which can be also problematic. Make it illegal to communicate.
I guess this law mostly done for people who are free, to make more criminal cases. But I don't know about, I can't remember if somebody between prisoners even mentioned that.
So from your perspective, it is still makes sense to write letters?
Of course, but the only point here is that censorship in Russian prisons allows only letters in Russian, so you need to use online translator or to ask someone who speaks Russian to translate the letter, and there are a couple of services that still quite good working with foreign telephone numbers, foreign bank accounts, like prison mail and a bit more complicated for Zona Telecom. These two services is possible to use from outside of Russia.
Right. Apart writing letters, is there other opportunities to support Ruslan and or your work as Solidarity soon?
Now there is maybe easiest possibility to support Ruslan directly is to donate for the work of his lawyer, because right now we are running a fundraiser for lawyer. Yeah, and if here maybe a question about importance of legal defense in Russia now, the most important for us as a group is to have a connection with person in prison without censorship and possibility to organize maybe sometimes not really legal, but kind of solidarity and showing that person isn't left alone. Yeah, emotional support. Also, good lawyer is only possibility to tell to outside of prison about tortures, about bad conditions. Yeah, because it's a really common thing that prison staff maybe don't do something directly against political prisoners, but just putting them in such living conditions when, for example, there is no part of glass in the window and the winter starting, and doing such things that make their life more difficult.
Is there anything else you think is important to say as about the case of Ruslan or about your work in general? Or, yeah, as the previous question was also how to support you directly.
Yeah, actually, there are not much possibilities from outside, but I mean from outside of Russia, because when we write posts in social media in Russian, we also ask people to send parcels to pretrial detention center, because it's not limited yet, like in prison then, because in prison there are very few packages you may receive a year. Yeah, and actually about prisoners, yeah, it's only two possibilities: to write letters and to donate to for certain campaigns. Yeah, and also, of course, spreading information is very important, and it's also kind of protection for prisoners and for us also. And about supporting us, first option is financial support. We have Patreon page, or also we know that Patreon offers a lot of fees for people who would like to donate us. So we really happy when somebody organize events in solidarity with us and find some ways to avoid Patreon. Also, yeah, spreading information, calling us to events, also great support.
Thanks a lot for the interview, and a lot of respect for the people in Russia fighting back and or trying the very possible to fight back, and a lot of respect for your work, and thanks a lot of strength for you.
Yeah, from me too.
Thank you, and thank you for invitation.
Right, after this piece about repression against people sabotaging the war machine in Russia, we're back in the studio at Radio Plau, listening to the anarchist news show called Bad News for Telia, and we will go on with our next interview. It's about the repression against people that protested against the G20 in Hamburg back 2017, and it's done by the comrades from A Radio Berlin. But beforehand, that you can relax a little bit, we will listen to a track from Danger Dan called Gesiebte Luft.
Gitter sind mein Bruder, Knast ist Folter, aber du bist frei, du bist in mir drin. Das ist für die Eltern aller Kids, die im Knast sitzen, die im
Schwitzkasten nichts machen können und Kippen bringen und Briefe schreiben. Das ist für die Titelseiten Zeit und Knast, sein Luxus greift zur Seite, wer baut den Bus? Das ist für Sozialarbeiter, die sich den Arsch aufreißen. Harte Jungs, weich werben, sehen in harten Zeiten. Das ist für die Wannabe, Gangster ohne Perspektive. Das hier ist für Kids ohne Geld und ohne Alibi. Lest Bücher, bildet Banden, bildet Räte und Verbände. Bildet euch nicht eine, wäret machtlos und könnt nichts verändern. Das ist für den kleinen Jungen aus dem Wartesaal, der nicht weiß, warum er hier immer so lange auf seinen Vater wartet. Das ist Knastkirmes, ein wortloser Blick aus den Gitterstäben in den Hof. Das ist Folter. Gesiebte Luft, Gedanken rasen, Blaulichter, Haft antragen. Drogenhandel auszusuchen, Handschellen, Staatsanwaltschaft. 23 Stunden Zelle, eine Stunde Hofgang, Popshop, Briefe, Phrasen.
Halt dein Kopf!
Leicht gesagt, die Uhr tickt entschieden zu langsam.
Sekunden wie Stunden, doch Wochen wie Tage.
Erstickt in Routine.
Fick die Welt, fick den Knast, denn er fickt deinen Kopf und die Hoffnung.
Gesiebte Luft, Gedanken rasen, Blaulichter, Haft antragen. Drogenhandel auszusuchen, Handschellen, Staatsanwaltschaft. 23 Stunden Zelle, eine Stunde Hofgang, Popshop, Briefe, Phrasen.
Halt dein Kopf hoch!
Leicht gesagt, die Uhr tickt entschieden zu langsam.
Sekunden wie Stunden, doch Wochen wie Tage.
Erstickt in Routine.
Fick die Welt, fick den Knast, denn er fickt deinen Kopf und die Hoffnung.
Das ist für die Jungs im Knast, die nicht mehr den Mut hatten, denen nichts mehr übrig blieb als Strick oder Pulsadern. Das ist für die Schließer mit scheinbar sehr schlechten Augen, die nicht sehen, wenn Knackis sich Heroin vom Blech rauchen. Die sich lieben gerne etwas Geld nebenbei verdienen, die dir gegen Bares gerne Handys oder Steine bringen. Das hier ist ein Schlag mit der Faust gegen Beton. Das hier ist die Hoffnung, irgendwann wieder rauszukommen. Das ist für die Gesetze ausdiskutieren, nicht bemerken, was hier abgeht und da draußen passiert. Was für ein Shit hier passiert, wenn verbitterte Teens mit Butterflies schon denken, sie sind mit im Krieg, wo auch immer du jetzt sitzt, Boy. Das hier ist ein Sonnenstrahl direkt durch das Fenster der Ossendorfer JVA. Das hier ist ein Schwur, ein wortloser Blick aus den Gitterstäben in den Hof. Das ist Folter. Gesiebte Luft, Gedanken rasen, Blaulichter, Haft antragen.
Drogenhandel auszusuchen, Handschellen, Staatsanwaltschaft.
23 Stunden Zelle, eine Stunde Hofgang, Popshop, Briefe, Phrasen.
Halt dein Kopf hoch!
Leicht gesagt, die Uhr tickt entschieden zu langsam.
Sekunden wie Stunden, doch Wochen wie Tage.
Erstickt in Routine.
Fick die Welt, fick den Knast, denn er fickt deinen Kopf und die Hoffnung.
Gesiebte Luft, Gedanken rasen, Blaulichter, Haft antragen.
Drogenhandel aufzusuchen.
The proceedings are about the Rondenberg complex. For all the people who are not familiar with G20 protests in Hamburg, can you briefly explain what happened back then?
Yes, I think I will go a bit further. More than 6 years ago, the G20 summit took place in Hamburg and there were massive protests against it. Tens of thousands of people came to the city and took to the streets to protest against the meeting of the heads of state and government of the 20 most powerful countries. On July 7, thousands of activists took to the streets early in the morning to demonstrate and also to block the access routes of the summit participants. Various protest marches also set off from the protest camp in Hamburg, Altona. One of them was the protest march that was stopped by the police at Rondenberg and brutally beaten up. The police ran towards the protesters, shouting loudly and beating them all up. Numerous activists were injured, they suffered bruises, lacerations, broken bones and even open fractures. And actually, there was this one main incident where people got badly hurt. That was when cops pushed activists against a railing over which they tried to escape, and it broke away and they fell 3 to 4 meters. As a result, 14 people had to be transported to a hospital in ambulances. 59 others were then arrested on the spot, and it can indeed be said that this police operation in Rondenberg was one of the most brutal during the protests, alongside the Welcome to Hell demo, which was also massively beaten up. The Federal Police's Evidence and Arrest Unit, or BFE Blumenberg for short, was responsible for this operation. This unit is actually quite well known for its brutal approach and above all, operations in which left-wing activists have repeatedly suffered serious injuries have been documented in the past. For example, in 2010 there was an activist involved in an action against a nuclear waste transport train who climbed a tree to unroll a banner. He was pepper sprayed, shot at, and then fell from a tree, breaking a thoracic vertebrae and the like. And another person had his skull smashed in 2009 at the street festival Schanzenfest in Hamburg.
And what are the defendants who are now on trial being accused of?
As part of the Rondenberg proceedings, charges were brought against 85 people in 2019. The defendants are accused of aggravated breach of the peace in a particularly serious case, in conjunction with active assault on law enforcement officers, as well as attempted grievous bodily harm, forming an armed group, and destruction of property. One thing must be clear here. These charges do not relate to individually committed or proven acts. The people concerned are charged solely with their presence at the demonstration. Rather, all those accused are to be collectively condemned. And as absurd as it sounds, all participants in the demonstration are accused of being involved in setting off pyrotechnics and throwing rocks. This is the basis of the charges. With these proceedings, the public prosecutor's office wants to reverse the reform of the section on the breach of the peace legislation from 1970. Because before 1970 in Germany, the mere presence in a so-called unpeaceful assembly was punishable. However, this doesn't even correspond to the current view of the courts. Even the German Federal Court of Justice has repeatedly pointed out in the past that the mere presence in a so-called violent crowd is not sufficient for a conviction for a breach of the peace offense. In 2017, the Federal Court of Justice ruled that ostentatious marching could be punished as a breach of the peace offense. However, according to the Federal Court of Justice, the ruling may only be applied to hooligan groups and not to political gatherings, in order to preserve the right to demonstrate. The background to this is that hooligans are, so to speak, presumed, or it is assumed that they will deliberately arrange fights. And the demo in Rondenbach is accused of the same thing. The political motivation of this prosecution can clearly be seen here.
There have already been previous trials in connection with the Rondenbach case. Why didn't those go anywhere back then? And what is the difference to the trial now?
No trial has yet been brought to a conclusion, but there have already been two attempts. The first trial was against Fabio from Italy, who was 18 years old at the time and who spent almost 5 months in custody in Hamburg after his arrest in Rondenbach. The judge at the higher regional court at the time, who was, so to speak, responsible for examining his detention, accused him, without ever having seen him, of having harmful tendencies and considerable developmental and educational deficiencies. And to put this judge in a clearer light, this concept of harmful tendencies was coined by the Nazis and was then simply incorporated into the new version of the Juvenile Code or Juvenile Criminal Law in 1953. Fabio's trial finally came to an end in 2018 because the judge went on maternity leave. And a month ago, the criminal proceeding against Fabio were discontinued. One of the reasons given for the dismissal was the long pre-trial detention. Then, in 2020, there was another trial against the five youngest defendants, who were still minors, in July 2017. The trial was discontinued after three trial days in 2021 due to the coronavirus pandemic. I think I need to emphasize at this point that the allegations and the prosecution's arguments in these three trials were always the same. As I said earlier, it is not just referring to individual accusations, but to the mere presence at the demonstration. This shows that, on the one hand, the public prosecutor's office is feeling enormous pressure to prosecute, and on the other, that it is once again trying to set a precedent in order to restrict the right of assembly in the long term. This seems to be a particularly strong motivation here. In its statements in the indictments, the public prosecutor's office also includes the general mobilization against the G20 and of course makes it appear that it wants to criminalize any protest, including the preparations. There is to be an overall reckoning with the protests and a revenge for the rulers' loss of control. This also fits well with the massive means of repression surrounding the G20. Think of the bans on camps and demonstrations at the time, the withdrawal of accreditation from critical journalists, the series of house searches afterwards and before, and the public searches of hundreds of participants in the protests. This level of public investigation has never been seen before.
And what is the current status of the proceedings?
The current status is that the trial against six of those involved is due to begin at the Hamburg District Court on January 18. And so far, 25 trial dates have been set until August 2024. The dates can be viewed at gemeinschaftlich.noblocks.org or at Rote Hilfe.
How are those affected by the proceedings, dealing with the charges or the current situation?
Yes, for those affected, who come from all over Germany, the trial means enormous effort. As attendance at the trials is compulsory, the people concerned have to make long journeys to Hamburg several times a month, several times a week. And that, of course, means restrictions in their paid work, but also in all kinds of other activities, be it family or social ties and the like. And they are therefore exposed to a heavy burden. I don't think it's child's play. And above all, we have to assume that obligations to pay court fines will not be adhered to at all, but will be extended instead. This was just the start, so to speak.
Can you talk about what solidarity work already exists for the trial and how people can participate or support it?
With the Gemeinschaftlicher Widerstand or Community Resistance Campaign, we want to support those affected and not leave them alone with the repression. We are now calling on people to come to the trials in Hamburg. The trials are open to the public and it is a great sign of solidarity if people accompany the trials and take part in actions. Especially when the trial has already progressed, the number of visitors is usually lower and the burden on those affected is even greater. In other words, that's when it's important to show solidarity and get involved. You can of course also organize yourself and organize actions to show your solidarity and of course build up political pressure. Ultimately, we think relatively little of the right of assembly, but still, it is also part of our political expressions. And such massive restrictions which are threatened by a conviction in the Rondenbach trial are simply not acceptable to us and cannot be accepted so easily. And of course, you are welcome to contact us, because we understand the need to react in a decentralized manner. Simply send us an encrypted email to contact us and we can discuss the matter.
For more info, go to gemeinschaftlich.noblogs.org. That is gemeinschaftlich.noblogs.org.
¿Qué más me da si no me salen las palabras? Seguiré luchando, pero siempre sin armas, por intentar salvar a la masa. En plan Superman, pero sin slip ni capa. Algo más real, justicia cotidiana, que respiro y que me chuto cada mañana. Obreros cansados, políticos hablando, migrantes perdidos, sangre azul navegando por el Mediterráneo. Son hechos coetáneos, pero bueno, son contrastes de una vida llevada al traste por falta de solidaridad, por falta de salidas, quizás por eso llegan estampida la crítica social. Y es que veo estudiantes desmotivados, veo competición, pisotones, codazos, veo presos maltratados y niños pijos de papá mal acostumbrados. Veo mujeres 16 horas currando, porque aparte de su propia jornada laboral, adquieren en su peli una posición de esclavos. Qué bonito el amor fraternal. Y es que estamos enganchados a esta sociedad de locos. Nos creemos demasiado y nos conocemos poco. Sistematizado empleo.
Sistematizado empleo.
Sistematizado el coco.
Sistematizado el coco.
Sistematizadas clases.
Sistematizadas clases.
Sistematizado todo.
¿Todo?
Todo.
Lo tengo claro. Rap social más funcional se convierte en disparo palabaro. Lo tengo claro. Rap social y con moral y descaro que no pasan por el aro. Lo tengo claro. Rap social más funcional se convierte en disparo palabaro. Lo tengo claro. Rap social y con moral y descaro que no pasan por el aro. Rap social con mensaje contundente. El mercado me ha expulsado de las ventas.
Okay, you're still listening. Bad News for Telia at Radio Blau. Anarchist news show. Mostly bad, sometimes good news. And yeah, we will. The track you listened to, at least, it's or you are listening still to, is called the track is called Crítica Social, and it's from Aire y Humo.
Cómo suena, y así es como acusan, abusan y acribillan, como en Mosul, en Faluya, una sirilla.
Yeah, and we will go on with our last longer contribution of today. It's done by the comrades from Flora Radio, based in Valparaíso, and it's about the anti-takeover law there, used mainly against Mapuche people.
Thank you. Yo también tengo hambre de matar. Pero a mí esos fierros no me gustan. Yo saco las uñas pa' pelear. Y a mí que me disparen de frente y que sean la puerta de mi casa. Porque yo me muero en tierra mía y a mí de esta tierra no me sacan. Y a mí que me disparen de frente y que sean la puerta de mi casa. Porque yo me muero en tierra mía y a mí de esta tierra no me sacan.
In Chile, the year 2023 was marked by the repressive agenda of the ongoing social democratic government and the ultra-conservative right-wing constitutional process. In particular, we would like to comment on the anti-takeover law or usurpation law. It is a law created to criminalize the just territorial claims of the Mapuche people, the massive land takeover and self-construction of thousands who are homeless. Therefore, all forms of land occupation and construction, like squat, are threatened. This law was created and supported by some of the most conservative and wealthy sector of society in the most profound housing crisis ever experienced by communities in the so-called Chile territories. Some of the effects of this law are 1. Jail sentences for those found in the occupied lands or houses. 2. It can be evoked in seizure of educational establishments such as school or universities, of institutional headquarters of the government or private companies, or even for the temporary occupation of the street. In other words, it is a law that establishes more legal tools to repress social protest. 3. Not only the owner can denounce the occupation of the space, but also any neighbor or police generating the condition for betrayal between people.
During its approval process in Congress, thousands mobilized. In habits of occupations, camps and squatted spaces have generated coordination and struggle networks, and are still seeking the repeal of this law despite the fact that it has already been enacted and used against land occupations in Mapuche territory. This law, along with others, is part of a repressive agenda that the whole electoral political agreement protects and strengthens. For our part, we do not expect any conditions in favor of those who are responsible for our misery. We trust in the construction of strong networks of mutual support, solidarity, and resistance against laws that criminalize poverty and popular direct action around housing and the construction of a dignified life.
Por el fin de esta agonía.
Desde dentro.
Por la anarquía.
Para que no va la esperanza en nuestros corazones.
right. The last track was performed by Bandera Negra, and it's called Desde Dentro. And we reached nearly the end of today's show, and we'll traditionally end with an announcement part. Yeah, maybe first of all, our next show will take place at the 3rd of February, 5 p.m. again, so tune in if you want to. Yeah, so today's announcement part, we're gonna start with the announcement about Soli Bar, Soli event at so-called bar that's called Asadi in the west of Leipzig in Alt-Lindenau, Georg-Schwarz-Straße 1. There will take place this event. It's a bingo and dance called Bingo and Dance, and that's what it's about. The money that will be collected during the evening, it's to support the struggle for the right to stay, and it will start at 5 p.m. and then there will be bingo from 7:30, and from 9 p.m. there will be DJ sets. So pass by if you want to start to support the struggle for the right to stay. So a similar Soli event will take place at Meutereite, also in the west of Leipzig, at the 19th of January, from 7 p.m. And it's also about bingo, Soli cocktails, and some DJ Spotify. Yeah, and it's about collecting money for the costs caused by the repression against the anti-Schocke occupation that took place in 2022 in the east of Leipzig. It was a queer feminist occupation of a building that sadly didn't last that long. And there should take place a court case a long time ago already, and it was postponed. And now this court case, if it will become truth, will take place at the 25th of January at 9:30 in the morning at Amtsgericht Leipzig. And people can also go there, and especially Flint persons are invited to support the accused. You can find more infos about the case at antischocke.noblogs.org, antischocke.noblogs.org. So then a very important thing that it's already really an institution, and that's a good thing, at least one good thing, but it's caused by some really shit that took place, the murder of Ori Jallo, there will be a memorial demo again at the 7th of January. So tomorrow, Sunday the 7th of January, will take place this memorial demo for the murder of Ori Jallo. Here in Leipzig, there is a meeting point at the main station at 12:45. If people want to go together by train to Dessau, where the murder took place, it will be at rail 10 and the departure of the train is 13 and 4 yeah 1 p.m. and 4 minutes and yeah the demo will take place at 2 p.m. at main station in Dessau. So, and it was not mentioned in the interview the comrades from A Radio Berlin did, but it's linked to the topic. There will take place an demo in solidarity with the prosecuted connected with protests against the G20, and it will take place at the 20th of January at 4 p.m. at Jungfernstieg in Hamburg. I will play a jingle to mobilize for it in the very end of the show as well, but it will be in German, so if people don't understand German, yeah, I hope you noted, you wrote down the dates, and if not, you can find it for sure in the internet, for example, at de.indymedia.org. Wow, one of the little times I'm quite in time, so my last announcement for today, so I'm gonna play some more music and then the jingle as I announced, and after that there will be the program at Radio Blau will go on with Justin's evening music. Enjoy, and yeah, now some music from Tapete, Deutschland, it's called the track, and after that the jingle to mobilize for the demo and the court case in Hamburg.
Ich wohne in einem Land, in dem man Essen in Müllämmern findet. Wasser aus der Leitung fließt und im Abfluss verschwindet. Wo volle Regale von Supermarktketten voll bleiben. Davor bettelnde Penner verrecken, psst, schweigen.
Juli 2017.
G20-Gipfel in Hamburg.
In den frühen Morgenstunden.
200 Aktivistinnen sind unterwegs.
Gegen den Gipfel.
Rondenbach, Gewerbegebiet Hamburg.
Sie werden von einer BFE-Einheit angegriffen und brutalst zusammengeschlagen.
Ohne Vorwarnung.
Offene Knochenbrüche und viele zum Teil Schwerverletzte.
59 Festnahmen.
11 in Untersuchungshaft.
Politische Prozesse.
85 AktivistInnen werden nun auf die Anklagebank gezerrt.
Sechseinhalb Jahre nach dem G20-Gipfel hat die Staatsanwaltschaft immer noch einen starken Verfolgungswillen und wünscht sich Haftstrafen.
Im sogenannten Rondenbach-Verfahren beginnt ein neuer Prozess gegen 6 Betroffene am 18. Januar 2024 in Hamburg und soll bis in den August andauern.
Eine Verurteilung würde eine Einschränkung des Demonstrationsrechts bedeuten.
Es wird bei den Prozessen immer Kundgebungen vor dem Gericht geben. Vor allem zum Prozessauftakt am 18. Januar 2024 wollen wir mit vielen Menschen deutlich machen, was wir von den Angriffen der Staatsanwaltschaft auf die Versammlungsfreiheit halten.
Am 20. Januar findet die bundesweite Demonstration Gemeinschaftlicher Widerstand gegen staatliche Repression, Versammlungsfreiheit verteidigen in Hamburg statt. Kommt nach Hamburg. 16 Uhr, Jungfernstieg.